Hello, everybody. God bless you today. This is Susan Puzio, and I want to welcome you to the Prophetic News radio broadcast on Blog Talk Radio. And we're also on the Rapture Ready Radio Network, which is the network of our sister Jackie Alnor. And they have a different host just about every day over there, so you get a good variety. If you're looking for something good to listen to, of course, we have many choices, don't we? We have the internet, and we have radio, and we have television. And really, with all the channels that are on television, you know, there really isn't that much worth watching, especially what they call Christian television. As I look through the channels and I see that they're having these telethons and they're selling oil and prayer cloths, and they sell all kinds of things, and they even have their children participating, because someday the children of these people that run these networks, apparently they'll be taking over. And so they're training them up, and they train them up to be scam artists, which for the life of me, I can't figure out why any parent would train their children in the art of gospel scamming. You know, I don't understand that. My family, my mother and father were factory workers. And they both came from immigrant families who, I can't understand how they would train their children to sell oil and to tell people how to give money to get money and give $1,000 and God is going to heal your children and heal your body, and they say all kinds of things. So it's just beyond me, but that's why we have good programs, some very good programs on the internet, some very good websites out there for people to study and to look at. And we've been updating our website just about every week. We have been putting some new articles on there, and we changed it and redecorated it. You know, women always like to redecorate things. So anyway, we've done that. And also, I would like to mention my book, Seed Faith, Can a Man Bribe God? How False Teachers Manipulate and Hypnotize You for Offering. So that's for sale on Amazon and Barnes & Noble and quite a few different bookstores out there. But it's a good book for people that are kind of lingering in the Word of Faith movement. In the book, we talk about most of the well-known evangelists, Bible teachers, or they call themselves Bible teachers, but I don't understand. That's another thing that's so hard to understand, right? Because we all have Bibles. So you open the Bible and you read the Bible and you quote the Bible. So the other day I was listening to Paula White teaching on tithing. So she's reading this scripture. And to me, really, Paula White is a biblical moron, I would say, because it was moronic, really, because she's reading a scripture about tithing from the Old Testament, and she's saying, and it says that they were bringing their crops, okay? But she's telling the people in her church that they have to bring her their money. And then she tells them that their crops was their money. Oh, I had a good laugh, and I'm still laughing about it because it doesn't say that. But the people are sitting there and they're nodding their heads, yes, but, which is why you should bring your Bible to church and then you should read it yourself, because it wasn't their money. They had money back then. They had money. That they went and they bought things. They brought silver and gold to the temple where they gave free will offerings, the Bible says. So for her to say that that was their money, she's ridiculous. And it says they brought crops because tithing in the Old Testament was always crops. It was never money. They never brought money for tithing. But there you go, see. If you don't read the Word of God for yourself and you don't know what it says, you'll go to church on Sunday and somebody will stand up there and they'll claim to be doctor this or prophet this or apostle this, and it's moronic. But yet the Bible talks about deceiving the minds of the simple, and that's what happens, is people don't want to open the Bible and read it and find out what it says, and then they just depend on the pastor to tell them the truth. Well, you can't always depend on the pastor to tell you the truth, which was obvious in that service that I was watching on Sunday. But it never ceases to amaze me that there's so many of these people out there that claim to be Bible teachers, but yet they don't really know the first thing about a Bible. It's a prop for them, and it's a money-making scheme, and it works out. Look, these people have made out very well misquoting the Bible and using the Bible to enrich themselves, which they've been very good at, because they take in millions of dollars. It's very expensive to be on television and to have a television ministry. So they're very good at it. Very, very good at manipulating and getting people to send them checks and put money on their credit cards, whatever. I'm not opposed at all to people taking up offerings or for people supporting ministries. Yeah, why not? If it's a good ministry and you feel like you want to support the ministry, but nobody should have to beg you and promise you things that you can't deliver. I can't promise you anything. Just because somebody sends me some money, I can't promise them anything, except that, like the Bible says, it's more blessed to give than to receive. So you get a blessing as far as it makes you happy when you're helping someone, and especially when you do something in secret, we get joy from that, from helping our friends and helping our families. So, but anyway, I also wanted to mention, there's so much of a parallel, I think, in what's going on in the political world today with all the hatred for Donald Trump and the hatred for anyone that's associated with him. I think that this is such a sign of things to come for Christians, because when we decide that we are going to take a stand for what the Bible says, and for instance, what the Bible says again about homosexuality, that Jesus definitely, the Bible and our belief in Jesus Christ doesn't go along with homosexuality. We believe it's a perversion, which the Bible says, and it says it in Romans 1, and it also says it in other places, and we believe sex before marriage is wrong. Today, you see so many people living together and having children outside of marriage, and the children don't have any stability. Talk to anybody that's come from a divorced family, and they'll tell you how it affected them. Children want security, and they like having a father and a mother in the home who are married, and that's the way it's supposed to be. But when we take a stand for what we believe in, we're going to see so much more of a backlash, I think, in the days ahead. This is what's happening, what we see, what's happening in the political realm with the hatred. Now, you don't have to agree with everything that is being done, but you don't have to be hateful where you want to hurt people because you don't agree with them. But that's what's happening, and that's what's going to happen to Christians. We're going to be targets. And some of us are being targeted currently for what we're doing and for what we believe. But it's going to be even worse in the future. I think it's very, very, it's kind of frightening what's happening, because people are being incited to hate because of someone's policies, and if you've ever lived through any time like I did when I lived in the 60s. Oh dear, I think this thing is going to cut off pretty soon here, but I'm going to lose my live feed here, but I'll continue broadcasting for the archives. Anyway, if you've ever lived through the 60s, there was so much political upheaval then. And we saw so many assassination of a president, of Martin Luther King Jr., of Robert Kennedy, of Malcolm X, many different people. And it was horrible. It's horrible, this kind of thing. And we should never promote violence against other people or incite violence against other people. It's just it's very, very dangerous what's happening in the political world today. But anyway, we're going to talk more about little gods and what does the Bible say about little gods. You'd be surprised. This is a New Age belief which has crept into the church, which I'll put in quotes because it's not really the church when people teach these kind of things about being a little God, because there's only one God. And we're not it. We're not it. So anyway, I'm going to play some audio for you, and you'll hear for yourself. You'll hear some of these New Agers and then some of the so-called Christian leaders talking about being little gods, or even some people like Jim Jones and Father Divine. And there's some people out there right now that say they're gods, some of these weird gurus. And it has to be almost a form of insanity, because could you imagine yourself waking up in the morning and you say to yourself, I'm God, and you go out the door and you appear before people and you let people treat you like you're God. Now, something has to be wrong there. Something definitely has to be wrong there. And you're not working on all your cylinders there. Anyway, let's listen to this first clip here.
And in that place, here's where it's going to get big for some people. Get ready. Go ahead. Email me now. In that place, go ahead. You tap into who you really are. You know what the Bible calls you? It says you are a little Elohim. You are a little God. Now, I'm not saying you are God. Right. Don't get me on any flaky, but your spirit
right.
is God.
Right.
God.
Right.
And when you begin to understand that, now start wrapping that so you have in your heart, your mind, your soul, your will, your emotions, a memory of your future in the presence of God in worship.
Hmm.
When His presence in there, then I am enlightened
right.
of who I really am,
right.
what I can really do,
right.
and what I really walk in.
You're the children of the month. How many of you are children of God? Oh, see, no, listen, nobody has problems saying, I'm a child of God. Everybody has problems saying, I'm a little G. Oh, everybody has problems saying, listen, now let's get down to it. Everybody got problems saying, I'm a God. Yeah. See, look at you, just had a problem. But I didn't say it. He said it.
Like, stop. What are you talking about? You're a little G. No, you're not a little G. You're not a little G. That was Creflo Dollar. I want to know, Creflo, remember when your daughter had you arrested and you were standing there and you had your mugshot taken? Creflo, you weren't a little G. You weren't a little G that day. So it's like, please. And then there's Paula White there telling, yeah, you're a little God. You're a little Elohim. No, I don't think so. No. No, you're not. We're all flawed. And if it wasn't for Jesus, we would be fatally flawed forever. So I don't know where they get this stuff from. Well, we know where we came from. Of course, we know where we're going, but we haven't arrived yet. Here's another clip.
This hue and cry and controversy that has been spawned by the devil to try and bring dissension within the body of Christ, that we're gods. I am a little God.
Yes. Yes.
I have His name. I'm one with Him. I'm in covenant relationship. I am a little God. Critics,
you are anything that He is.
Yes.
No.
Listen to this exposition of Genesis 1, 26 and 27 from Creflo Dollar.
Now, in verse 26 and verse 27, God now submits Himself to this principle of everything producing after its own kind. And in verse 26 and 27, let's read it out loud. Ready? Read. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. Now that's interesting, because if everything produces after its own kind, we now see God producing man. And if God now produces man, and everything produces after its own kind, if horses get together, they produce what? And if dogs get together, they produce what? If cats get together, they produce what? But if the Godhead gets together and say, let us make man, then what are they producing? They're producing gods. Hit this thing real hard in the very beginning, because I ain't got time to go through all this, but I'm going to say to you right now, You are gods, little g. You are gods because you came from God, and you are God. You're not just human. The only human part about you is this physical body that you live in.
I don't
well, a chicken that. Can't have a dog. A billy goat can't have an elephant. Elephant have elephant. I have said, and God said, ye are God. He says, I call you God.
You know, why do people have such a fit about God calling his creation, his man, not his whole creation, but his man, little gods? If he's God, what's he going to call them but the God kind? I mean, if you as a human being have a baby, you call it a humankind. If cattle has another cattle, they call it cattle kind. So, I mean, what's God supposed to call us? Doesn't the Bible say we're created in his image?
You know who you are? Turn to Psalm 82. This is going to blow your mind real good. Psalm 82, 1. God standeth in the congregation of the mighty. That's you. He judgeth among the what? Now, would you please listen to me? This is talking about you. He's telling the gods. Who are the gods? You are. See, I never heard that. Let me ask you this. Hello, you. Are you God's offspring? Then you're not human.
You're not human? What? I don't know. I mean, I wake up in the morning and I go through my day, and all day long I realize I'm human. Yeah, I'm human. Yeah, I'm human. Very human. What is he talking about? And notice that was Benny Hinn, Creflo Dollar, Paul Crouch, Joyce Meyer. Oh, please. No, I'm not human. No. Benny, I don't know what he's smoking. He must be smoking that pipe again. He must be smoking that pipe. Anyway, Isaiah 43. Oh, dear. Isaiah 43, verse 10. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me, and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God form, neither shall there be any after me. Amen. I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. Yeah. Beside me there is no Savior. Don't we know that? It's like, hey, Benny, you can't save me. You can barely save yourself over there, Benny. Oh, my. Isaiah chapter 46, verse 5. To whom will ye liken me and make me equal and compare me that we may be like? Yeah. Who can compare themselves to God? I certainly can't, and neither can any of those other people. I never created anything with my words. Never one time did I ever create anything with my words. Maybe I created a lot of trouble with my words, yeah, but I didn't create anything. I didn't walk outside one day like God Almighty did when he was creating the heavens and the earth in the book of Genesis, and I didn't say, when I walk outside, I didn't say light be and the light was. No. And I didn't say, I couldn't create a human being like God did. I can't create the moon and the stars like he did. I don't create anything with my words. Like I said, maybe I can create a whole lot of trouble with my mouth. That's for sure. But I certainly am not a little G. Isaiah 40:25. To whom then will ye liken me, or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One. Amen. We are not equal with God. we're born again and we have the mind of Christ, but we have to renew our mind with the word of God. We're not always thinking good thoughts, not all the time. We're not always thinking good thoughts. And Jesus was always thinking good thoughts. He was always, the Bible says there was none righteous, no, not one. Only he was righteous. Only he was without sin when he walked the earth. We're not like that. Even we're saved and we're spirit filled with the Spirit of God, we still mess up. We still mess up. Still do things we're not supposed to do. We still say things we're not supposed to say. So for anybody to try to convince themselves that they're a little G and they're a little Elohim, and no, we're not. We're lost and undone without God and his Son. That's for sure. And we're still trying to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. I know I'm saved. Yeah, I know I'm saved. And I know I'm going to heaven when I die. I know I am. Nobody can tell me anything different. But yet, every day I have to deal with my human frailties. And for people to have so much pride in their life to try to make them, because that's what it is. And that's how Satan fell. Was through pride. To think that you're something that you're not is pride. And when pride comes, then comes destruction, then comes a fall. We should never think more of ourselves than we ought to think. They have so many of these teachings now that you're great and you're a history maker and you're a world shaker and you're going to do this and you're going to do that. And most people can barely get up in the morning and go to work and work their 8-hour day or whatever, and then come home and take care of their families and do all the things that they have to do in life. And then they all of a sudden they have to be a history maker and a world shaker, you know, and they have to make their confession about I am this and I am that. And just to try to make yourself feel good. When it's just better just to realize what you are, that we are dust. We came from the dust, from the dirt of the ground. And if it wasn't for Jesus, where would we be? Where would any of us be if it wasn't for him? Remember what it was like when we didn't serve God and we didn't know God and we weren't born again and we lived for the devil. Remember what that was like? That was awful. And then to come after we accept Jesus and after we have we're born again and we have a new life in Christ, and then to come back and say, I am great and I am a little God. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. It's so prideful. It's so prideful. And it just goes against scripture. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 3 and 4. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshiped, so that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. That's the Antichrist. Remember ye not that when I was with you yet, I told you these things, and now ye know that what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Oh. And we see that more and more. We see that people want, they want people to break the law. Just break the laws. Don't obey the laws that we have in this country. You have to have law and order. You have to have laws. Because that's how you know what right from wrong. But now, in the days that we're living in, people don't want law and order. They don't want to obey laws. It's that spirit of rebellion. The Bible talks about the spirit of rebellion that is in the world, especially through lust. Don't tell me what to do. That's the attitude. Don't tell me what to do. I'll do whatever I want. I don't care if it hurts you or if you like it or not. And that's the attitude. It's awful. It's just awful. But that's what Jesus said was going to happen. He said it was going to happen. He said that the day would come when they would call good evil and evil good. And that's the day we're living in. The day we're living in. God help us. Let me play a few more clips here. I have of these new age people. I think you'll find this very, very interesting because there was a video on YouTube and it compared some of these so-called Bible teachers with these new agers and the Satanists, and they're basically saying the same thing, that you have God within you and you can be a God. Yeah, come follow me and you can be a God. That's basically what they were saying, but it really is frightening. Anyway, here we go.
And then I realized what I am that I am meant. It was God saying to us, I am that. I am. Got it. By the way, who God was pointing to when God said that was me. And you. And everyone. God is with us all the time because of course, he can't be other than with us, since there is no other place to be except right here, right now. And since there's no other person to be with except that which God is, which is you. See, there's no separation. I promise you, the problem is misidentification. When you are willing to identify yourself as that which God is, then you will feel God in you, as you, moving through you now.
The I am-ness principle is the godly principle inside this body. I am is your God and your own self. It is not an object. I am itself is like the aperture through which the infinite can perceive manifestation.
Love Pastor Joel. You know, a few months ago, I saw one of his sermons called I Am. And I said, now that is a life class. And I instantly sent him a text because we text each other. Because he was basically teaching one of my all-time favorite life lessons, and that is you become what you believe.
Get up in the morning and invite good things into your life. I am blessed. I am strong. I am talented. I am disciplined. I am focused. I am prosperous. When you talk like that, talent gets summoned by Almighty God. Go find that person. Health, strength, abundance, discipline starts heading your way.
Nelson Mandela, beyond his legacy for dealing with apartheid, was known literally as the embodiment, the physical embodiment of this idea called Ubuntu. And that idea, essentially in a nutshell, is a very New Age concept. And so he was basically known as the figurehead for this very New Age kind of ideology. So that's what made sense to me, is that beyond what he actually physically accomplished in the way of apartheid, what really made the man popular and what makes him popular is his status in this Ubuntu ideology religion, which is basically New Age ideology. Oh, it goes all the way.
Yeah, and South Africa is a big mess now. I was in South Africa for my listeners. We do have many listeners from South Africa, but I was in South Africa in the 1990s, and I had people taking me around the country, Cape Town and Johannesburg, other areas. It's beautiful, beautiful country. And even at that time, there was so much crime. They told me, don't drive alone on the highways when you're here. And people had bars on their windows. They had bars on their doors. And the crime was so bad that people were cutting holes into people's roofs and coming in. If they couldn't get in through the windows and the doors, that's how they were getting into people's houses and committing crimes. Because there were so many people that were walking from other parts of Africa, walking into South Africa, which was a prosperous country, and setting up these cities, these squatter cities, where they would just come and squat. If there was an empty lot somewhere, they would just come and squat and put up a lean-to or a tent or something. And I was taken to some of these tent cities. There was hundreds of people at this one place that we went to. But this was in the 1990s. And the crime was so bad then. And so now the crime is even worse than it was. And they've gone through a radical change there in the country. And they're trying to drive out the white farmers and they're killing the white farmers and taking their farms away from them, just like they did. I think it was in Zimbabwe that they did. They were doing that also. Well, it's not a success. You can't, just because, like in our country, like in America, we had the American Indians, and yeah, the white people came and they took their land away. Yeah, they did. And they killed them and they did terrible things to them. But it would just be like, okay, the American Indians now say, they come to my house and they come to my neighbor and they say, this land once belonged to us and now we want it back. And they start killing everybody here to take their land away. Well, it doesn't work that way. We can't undo what's been done in throughout history. So just because a farmer maybe is a white person there in South Africa and they say, well, now you have to give us your farm because you didn't get it the right way. Well, maybe they did get it the right way. Maybe they worked for it or they bought it and they got it the right way. They can't be blamed for something that happened years ago in the country. Just like you can't blame people today for what happened throughout American history. It hasn't been a great history for some people. And, I can't blame some people for feeling the way they do, of course, but we can't undo history. We have to try to make things better the way they are for now. We have to try to make things better in our relationships with people and our relationships with different ethnicities. we have to try, but we can't hold grudges for what's happened in the past. We can't undo that. So we have to try to make things better and try to get along in the days that we're living in. But you can see that. You hear Joel Osteen, he's talking about, I am talented. Oh, yeah, I get up in the morning and I stand in front of my mirror and I say to myself, I am talented and I am this and I am that. Oh, and then he says, if you say that, then, you know, God goes searching for... No, he doesn't. No, he doesn't. God gives everybody talents. He gives everybody different gifts. I don't have the same talents as somebody else has, and some people don't have the talents that I have, but I'm certainly not going to think I'm some great thing because I have some talents. I can use my talents for God, and I enjoy using my talents for God, but that doesn't make me anything special. Oh. Yeah, I am. And you notice he uses the term I am. And then Oprah says, oh, yes, that's one of my favorite things, is creating, basically creating your own reality. Well, you can't create your own reality. We're dependent on God every day of our life. And, of course, you can do certain things in your life to have a better life, but we're still dependent on God. So here's another clip now. You'll hear some New Agers talking about their God.
It's an idea that appeals to certainly the flesh.
When I read in the Bible where he says, I am, I just smile and say, yes, I am too. God's reason for creating Adam was his desire to reproduce himself. I mean a reproduction of himself. And in the Garden of Eden, he did that. He was not a little like God. He was not almost like God. He was not subordinate to God even. And Adam is as much like God as you can get. Just the same as Jesus, when he came into the earth, he said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He wasn't a lot like God. He's God manifested in the flesh. And I want you to know something. Adam in the Garden of Eden was God manifested in the flesh.
With the new album, they're like, oh, JD, I have such a God complex. I'm like, a man can't reference God? Like, Genesis 1:26 says God created man in his image, so I can't reference my...
Absolutely.
A little bit every now and then of God?
Absolutely. We are gods. Aleister Crowley stated it this way in his infamous Book of the Law. Every man and every woman is a star or a god.
Let's be happy. Let's compose. Let's learn how to express the feelings beyond words. How to connect and how to be content. Then only we can achieve that ultimate goal of divinity.
Because you are divine. We got to get you acquainted with your divinity.
I thought that Satanism was a deification of Satanism, or sort of the double, like kind of Christian double, which is totally not the case. It is more of like, you know, only worship yourself.
Here's the way they look at it. Here's their metaphor for the end of innocence. Adam and Eve were held prisoner in the Garden of Eden by an unjust, cruel, and vindictive God. Until Lucifer, through his agent Satan, set man free from this garden by giving him the gift of intellect. Through the use of intellect, man will conquer the earth, will conquer nature, and will himself become God. It's taught in every Masonic temple in this land. Every secret brotherhood, every secret society, every mystical temple, every occult organization teaches the Luciferian philosophy. They do not believe in Lucifer. They do not believe in any entity called a devil, and they do not believe in God. It is a mistake for you to assume that they do. They're atheists in the strictest sense of the word.
And so the responsibility for our lives does not lie with some deity of the sky, but it lies
with the God power within each one of us. Yes. Well, I make the individual aware that the power of God, the power of good, the power of love is within his own being.
You know what the Bible calls you? It says you are a little Elohim. You are a little God.
You have so changed me that I'm like yourself. There's more royal blood in me than Prince Charles. I'm a son of God. If you took my retina scan, it would say Jesus Christ. If you took my fingerprints or my DNA, Jesus Christ. So complete is the transformation as far as God is concerned. You know these movies you see where you can only get into high-tech places when they scan the right eyelid? But when your eyes go, and sometimes, I let you into a little secret. Sometimes when I pray, right, I say, good morning, Father. I know you think it's Jesus, but it's Andrew standing here.
And Jesus came not just to die for our sins.
He came to give us righteousness. It's like he took his suit off and put it on me. He took his DNA and gave it to me. He took his fingerprints and made them mine. He took his retina scan and made them mine. So when I stand before God, and I'm standing at God's heaven portal door, and my retina scanned, and I need my thumbprint, it goes, Jesus.
No, it's ridiculous. How can anybody talk like that? I don't understand. I don't understand how people can talk like that. It's delusional. It really is. It's delusional. We're not there yet. We're not there. And the Bible says we see through a glass darkly. We don't know everything. We don't see everything. We don't know everything. We don't understand everything. We just see through a glass darkly, the Bible says. I don't know how people can talk like that. I guess he doesn't have a wife. Because if he had a wife, his wife would sure tell him, nah, I don't think so. You know, she was a good wife. Anyway, let's listen to a few more clips here.
Soul, that spirit, with all that information, it predates this planet, even this creation.
We are all a God because we came from the source, and we are a part of it, and we will continue to be a part of it. And as we're part of the creators, we are also creators ourselves. Once you realize this, you can create anything you want in your life, because there's no difference. Remember, Jesus even said in the Bible, these things I do, you can all do, and more. There's nothing special. We all have these abilities. We just don't realize it, and we put them in the background.
Jesus was. Jesus said that every human being was a God.
It is written that you're gods. I'm a God, and you're a God. And I'm a God, and I'm going to stay a God until you recognize that you're a God. And when you recognize you're a God, I shall go back into principle and will not appear as a personality.
You are God.
But until I see all of you knowing who you are, I'm going to be very much what I am. God Almighty God.
I am a little God. Yes. Yes. I have his name. I'm one with him. I'm in covenant relationship.
When I look in the mirror, I see God. Oh, hallelujah. Hope and God are the same. So he has all power in heaven and earth. Pope Nicholas I declared that the appellation of God had been confirmed by Constantine on the Pope, who, being God, cannot be judged by man. The Pope is not only the representative of Jesus Christ, he is Jesus Christ himself, hidden under the veil of the flesh. Now, this blasphemy is not just limited to the popes. The priests themselves have proclaimed themselves to be a god on earth as well. The Bishop of Fort Wayne literally sanctioned the following Vatican-approved statement that says, "Of what sublime dignity is the office of the Christian priest, who is thus privileged to act as the ambassador and the vicegerent of Christ on earth? He continues the essential ministry of Christ. He teaches the faithful with the authority of Christ. He pardons the penitent sinner with the power of Christ. He offers up again the same sacrifice of adoration and atonement which Christ offered on Calvary. No wonder that the name which spiritual writers are especially fond of applying to the priest is that of Alter Christus, which means, for the priest is and should be another Christ.
You are God, therefore. Yes, you are, as is every other being, part of the creator's consciousness. Every part of creation is alive with intelligent energy.
Joseph Smith said this: God himself was once as we are now. It is an exalted man and sits enthroned in yonder heaven. I'm going to tell you how God came to be God. We have imagined and supposed that God was God from all eternity. I will refute that idea and take away the veil so that you may see he was once a man like us, and you have got to learn how to be gods yourselves.
We are going to become gods. Period. If you don't like it, get off. You don't have to contribute. You don't have to participate. But if you're going to interfere with me becoming God, we'll have big trouble. And we'll have warfare. The only way you could prevent me this 50 or is to kill me. You kill me, I'll kill you.
And so evolution is a spiritual process, bringing us closer to God. And technological evolution is now running a million times faster than biological evolution. And ultimately, we will ultimately trillions fold, expand our creativity and our sense of humor and our ability to love, and we'll become more godlike. In the future, everything will become intelligent. Nanobots will infuse all the matter around us with information. Rocks, trees, everything will become these intelligent computers.
Oh. Human beings can be strange creatures at times, can't they? That one guy says, well, don't interfere with me being a god, because if you try to kill me, I'll try to kill you. Oh, delightful. And then you have Jim Jones, the cult leader, had over 900 people drink cyanide and kill themselves and their children. I am a god. Yeah, you're a god. Yeah, you weren't a very good god, that's for sure. You claim to be God. And then you had people killing themselves and killed their babies. Oh, terrible. But that's what happens when people are deceived and they believe the strong delusion, the Bible calls it, a strong delusion. And you have to be completely delusional when you start talking like that. That you're a god and you can do this and you can do that. We're human beings and we have weaknesses. All of us do. I don't know how people can actually believe those kind of things, because they're not operating with a sound mind to believe that. We're all dependent on God Almighty for help. We have to depend on Him. How could we ever get through life when we have to go through the trials of life? How do they explain that if these people that they claim to be God, how do they explain it when they get sick or when they have some kind of trial that they're going through, maybe with their children or in their marriage? Or at their job. How do they explain that? But we're totally dependent on God. We need Him every day. We have to throw ourselves upon His mercy and ask Him to keep us strong as we go through this world, because Jesus promised us that in this world we're going to have tribulation, and we do. We have tribulation. We have trials. And it makes us even more dependent on God for help every day to help us through. But anyway, that's our broadcast for today. Don't forget, if you have any questions or comments, please email me, susan@propheticnews.com. I will answer your email. If I get one, I promise I'll answer it. And don't forget to go to our website if you're looking for some good reading material. There's so many articles on there. There's hundreds of articles that you'll find on the website that we've accumulated over, oh, I think our website's been up since about 2004. And we've put up hundreds of articles on there ever since. And then, of course, you can go to the Blog Talk Radio archives, and we've been broadcasting now since 2009. So that's a long time, right? 9 years we've been broadcasting. So there's hundreds of programs on our archives, so many different topics. And I think you'll be blessed. So many great guests that we've had over the years. And my book, Seed Faith, Can a Man Bribe God? How False Teachers Manipulate and Hypnotize You for Offerings. Hopefully one day I'll write another book, I hope. And the most important thing today is, do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Have you asked him to forgive you of your sins? Because we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all have to realize that we're not perfect and that we're sinners in need of a Savior. That's why Jesus came and he died for our sins, so he can save us from our sins. And he does. He saved me from many sins, and gave me a brand new life. And nobody can tell me any different, because I know that he gave me a brand new life. I know what it is to be born again. And I was in 1981 when I got down on my knees in Redstone, Colorado, and I said, Jesus, please come into my life and save me and heal me and forgive me of my sins. And he did. And I tell you, I was changed. I didn't want to do the things that I did before. I wanted to serve God, and I wanted to read my Bible, and I wanted to get to know him. And God can give you a brand new life too. Romans 10:10 says, confession is made with the mouth unto salvation. And Jesus said himself in John, the third chapter of John, that you must be born again. First you're born of your mother, and then you must be born again of the Spirit of God. And Jesus is real. He died on the cross. He ascended into heaven, and he rose from the dead. And he ascended into heaven in a body. He's real. Heaven is a real place, and you can go there. You don't have to worry about it. You can know for sure where you're going when you die. So give your life to Jesus today, and you'll never regret it. Never. You'll go through some tough times, and you'll question God through your Christian walk, but he'll get you through. He's faithful. God bless you.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there.
June 30th, featuring Walk the Moon, Mr. Wives, and Joy Wave. City Card members get access to preferred tickets. Get tickets now at LiveNation.com. 30 Seconds to Mars, the brand new album America, is available everywhere now. Part of the Clean Earth Systems concert series.
This summer, Coheed and Cambria. You could not be. And Taking Back Sunday. Together, Saturday, July 7th, Mid-Florida Credit Union Amphitheater at the Florida State Fairgrounds. With special guests, The Story So Far. Tickets on sale now at LiveNation.com. Part of the Clean Earth Systems concert series. Coheed and Cambria and Taking Back Sunday, live.